Pentagon says it has not decided what to do with a captured Taliban fighter who says he's an American. The man, identified by his parents as 20-year-old John Walker, was among more than 80 Taliban fighters who surrendered last weekend after a prison uprising near Mazar-e-Sharif. Hundreds of prisoners and an American CIA operative were killed in the uprising. There are reports that at least two other prisoners in the group may also be American. For now, the man known as Walker is being held by the U.S. military, NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
A senior defense official says Walker is being questioned on matters of military intelligence, such as the location of any al-Qaeda training camps. The man told CNN he volunteered for the Taliban after studying Islam in Pakistan. Ultimately, the military may ask the Justice Department to deal with him. At the Pentagon yesterday, Rear Admiral John Stuffelbeam said the man's fate has not been decided.
It appears that he is injured or has sustained some injuries and is receiving medical attention. In terms of his disposition, that has not yet been defined.
On the military front, Stuffelbeam says U.S. forces continue to put pressure on the Taliban stronghold of Kandahar, but he says they're moving at deliberate speed. So far, Marines stationed at a desert airstrip southwest of the city have not attacked Kandahar with their helicopter gunships. They may be worried about getting shot down by shoulder-fired missiles, including U.S.-made Stingers left over from the Soviet occupation. Stuffelbeam says these Taliban missiles are a concern for U.S. air crews.
I don't know the numbers of what might be a Stinger or what might be a Russian variant of that, or what might even be just a rocket-propelled grenade, but they're shooting at aircraft.
The missiles aren't much of a threat to the high-flying jets that continue to drop bombs on Kandahar, as well as caves and tunnels south of Jalalabad, but they could easily bring down a helicopter flying at lower altitude. Lieutenant Colonel Fred Wenger is a former commander of a Marine helicopter squadron and now a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says the Marines are more likely to lay siege to Kandahar than launch a full frontal assault.
I think it's going to be more of an attrition, starvation type approach based on what I've heard the Secretary of Defense talking about. The Marines' mission is really not to take Kandahar, but to support anti-Taliban forces in that area.
Anti-Taliban forces are approaching Kandahar from both the north and south. But even as they advance, Stuffelbeam says, the opposition is trying to negotiate a Taliban surrender. The U.S. insists that any senior Taliban or al-Qaeda leaders who do surrender must not be allowed to go free. A senior defense official complains that some Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters were freed after the Battle of Kunduz, and they're now fighting again in the north. Stuffelbeam says there are pockets of Taliban resistance around the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif.
There are four pockets that I know are of concern to opposition groups, and they are surrounding and negotiating, and ultimately they may have to fight them.
Instability in the north has made it difficult for aid workers to distribute food there. A UN security inspector was forced to leave Mazar-e-Sharif this week because of the ongoing fighting. The situation is more stable in Kabul, where the UN's World Food Program is launching an unprecedented survey this week. The program has hired thousands of Afghan workers to go door to door, identifying families most in need of food. Spokeswoman Abby Spring says two-thirds of the surveyors hired are women, something that would have been impossible under Taliban rule.
It's very important to send a message to the new leadership in Afghanistan that women must be part of the next administration. And also, women are more comfortable talking to women in Afghanistan. We know that once they meet the poorest of the poor, they're going to make sure that we get the food to the people that need it the most. And again, there's thousands of very educated women, and it would be foolish not to make use of their talents.
Needy families in Kabul will be given tokens, which they can exchange for a month's worth of wheat flour. The UN hopes to complete the survey and begin distributing food in Kabul by this weekend. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.